May, Thursday the 2nd of May, 68.
As the county judge and every fellow that wants me to favor him, let him favor us. We want that back water back up there.
Well, now, you see, Mr. Weaver, I every time I come over here and talk to y'all, I pick up something. I hadn't thought about that.
You hadn't?
No.
Yeah, man, it'd be worth millions and millions of dollars to this section of the country in here.
Yeah.
You'd have better pastures.
Yeah. No, them little groves around me have frozen out
a
couple of times since I've been down here. I bought a tape machine and
cats killing your calves.
No.
There's some of them down there big enough. There's some plenty of them big as that dog.
Yeah.
Like that.
No, I never have had any trouble, Mr. Weaver, with the.
And then there's a panther that comes through here ever so often. Different people see him. I saw one time. What doggone things up that high?
Yeah.
Now, he was a big down there in the road. I thought it was a big dog.
Yeah.
Close as we got, he just walked outside the road and down in the ditch and trotted along. Got up and went around past the fence. Never
right?
did run. He just trotted off.
Yeah. Friendly, huh? Mm-hmm. What you got there?
With a whole lot of it.
Yeah.
You need some of them, Mr. Weaver?
I got three or four of them. Like some line that needs cleaning out.
The mine. Well,
okay,
it.
Then we can't trade.
We can.
Yes or no. I want some yes or no's when I trade.
Just make me an offer.
No, I don't even do that.
Well, I just start at 50 then. You start where you want to.
Somebody might do it. I can't.
All right, well, make me an offer.
I'll give you $20.
Can't be bad.
Okay.
Well, I'll come down to 45. Now, where are you going?
No, I'm not.
I said, you just got to turn it around. Boy, I mean, that put one down the road, too.
Yeah. Well, now, does Wesley go in for that?
He hunts quite a bit.
Oh.
Went like this and went to that church.
That old Cobin trade those Indians.
Yeah. I just come from there. Man took one like that at that turkey shoot down in Orange Lake last year. He stepped out there and said he wanted to shoot target with this. Man said, well, go ahead. And he put target up out there and man shot it and hit right the bullseye and stuck the whole tip through the 1-inch board he had.
Why, Johnny?
So can Jesse James shoot a pistol, too.
Yeah.
Town.
Yeah.
He buys gas from me all the time and runs filling station.
Why,
yeah. I sell it cheaper than he can.
Why?
That's right.
Is that right? He runs a filling station.
Runs it to somebody else.
Yeah. And then buy it, guess what?
You got little boy play for this, haven't you?
Huh?
You got little boy play for this morning.
Yeah, that ain't no play for right there. That's a bass electric guitar.
Bass electric guitar?
I got strings, at least I don't keep walking the neck on it.
Lord.
Well, anyhow, I think Edith's in here. See what she can do with it.
Who?
Edith. Come on in.
Well, who's Edith?
No amplifier?
I don't know about no amplifier.
What's
that
string?
Don't
know
when it has.
I can't play it. I wish I could. If I could, I'd be working. If I could play it, I'd be working. I got a bunch of these things.
She's talking all over now.
Buck, I got about seven of these for sale, not bass. Not just bass. I got a matched pair of Gibson Country and Western. One's a 12 string and one's a 6 string, playing straight guitars. And I got a little electric guitar, 5-6-string guitar.
I never could see where this electric guitar is worse than more than the others.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll just take $60 for this bass right here, and I got a 12-string Gibson Country Western, and I'll take $225 for it.
Well, I bet you one thing, if you'd get it me, you'd sure got to have to take it.
Better load the pistol up at it.
Yeah, because I got one just about as handy as yours.
Handier, it's loaded.
Darn right, that's loaded. I got old 41 right back there.
I'm afraid to keep mine loaded, it might go off.
I wouldn't have a damn gun I was afraid to load.
I might shoot somebody, I'd be in trouble.
Yeah. Well, I don't aim shooting nobody unless they make me. But I don't figure off running off and leaving it in here for them to take care of it. Hey, Mr. Burns.
Mm-hmm.
Ada, come here and see if this thing will tune.
Huh?
Look at this thing he's got here.
No thanks. I ain't looking at nobody else's thing.
What's the matter?
My hands off, and I ain't looking at nothing nobody got no more that I don't know of real good.
Well,
I had to cut the woman out yesterday, you know, standing right there, accusing me of taking something.
Well,
I didn't do it.
Well, I wouldn't do you that way now.
I ain't gonna, no hands. Just look at it and tell me, do you know what it is? No, I don't know what it is. I'll be all day. Tell me, I'm lying. I thought you had something connected up. Oh.
I ain't got no
amplifier for it. You just haven't got much, have you?
Well, what's that bunch? That ain't no good to that bad.
That's right.
Well, where do you put the amplifier, Johnny? You
plug it in. These are regular little jacks, just like a phone jack. Stick in it.
Who?
Yeah. All I brought with me.
Well, that's right smart, I'd say.
Tell you what I'll do, I'll see you that tape recorder. Right.
Johnny, I don't need the tape recorder. I can borrow them up there.
You sang and want to record something?
You know anybody wants a sewing machine?
A what?
A sewing machine.
Sewing machine?
Electric sewing machine.
Electric?
Brand new.
What make it?
Stradivarius.
What?
Stradivarius.
I don't know any more than I did.
All right. It's electric. It's metal case. It's not a plastic case. It'll heat and warp on you. It's a metal one.
Will it sew?
Yeah, it'll sew. Guaranteed it'll sew. It's a $125 machine, and I'll just take $85 for it. Brand new.
I can't hear you. $85
is a hell of a lot of money, you know that? Nah, seems to be. Wasn't when I had it, but maybe now I ain't got it, it's a lot.
It depends partly on whether you got it or not, don't it? Yeah.
A great woman poet.
This is the end of Johnny, and now Roberts starts. This is the end of Johnny, and now Roberts starts. This is a tape I made when I went over on politics to Micanopy on Thursday the 2nd of May, 68. On Thursday the 2nd of May, 68. First time I had been on my rounds in weeks and weeks and weeks.
Of a great woman poet. She's smart.
That I'd like to go talk to about your cows.
Oh, gosh, Peter.
One is, of course, if I had a floater and I show them some pictures, it would be a heck of a lot better to take them with me.
Well, now, he developed them last night, and he took them over there to print them today. Bevy got after him.
Who's Bevy?
His wife.
Oh, well, I spoke to him yesterday myself.
Did you?
And I said that if I had the, he was up there taking a rest or something, and I said that I had these people I'd like to go see, but I didn't want to go see them unless I had the pictures to take.
You know, it just helps.
You've got something concrete. You're talking about something abstract.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to sell
it's
something that you don't have. If you can say, here, Johnny, here's a friend of mine who has this bunch of cattle. You're going all over the state. You go everywhere. See if you can interest some people for me, will you? I don't mind telling you who it is. It's John Folks, who is the agricultural expert for the Florida Power Corporation.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I remember him way back. I don't know him, though. Just
I know
you.
Him real well. In fact, Johnny and I were very close friends, and he and his wife. And I'm going to see Johnny. Also, I'll see Mr. Wisner down there at the same time. And Wisner can help, too. Then I thought I'd see Carrie Robbins and... I got two other names written down in there, and
yeah,
see
done,
if I can't, get some of these people in agriculture going around and seeing these people who see them every day, plus the people that I can see, and see if we can't move them for you.
Wade said the pictures would print up better on slick, the one I
that
showed
doll,
you,
yeah.
That little doll. But now, this fella I talked to, he's a right nice fellow. He's on Fifth Avenue, right next to 13th Street. As I remember, his name's Waller. And he got a little press there. It's almost in the edge of the colored section.
Mm-hmm.
But I had him make me some letters here. I haven't seen him yet. Fifth Avenue. You know
just
where
off of Main Street.
No, you know where Gaswell is? 13th Street.
Oh, 13th. Yeah. Now I'm gone
there.
Over
there. On
no,
Fifth
no,
Avenue.
He ought to be all right.
Yeah. Now, if he doesn't have the paper, he can get it, you know.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Yeah. Shoot, it didn't cost that much. What Wade's talking about is some of that chrome coat stuff, and that doesn't cost terrifically.
No.
So, in fact, the matter is it might cost $2 a ream or 1,000 sheets more than the dull paper. That dull paper is pretty good. I told Wade I didn't know whether it was rag content paper or not.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's rag. It's 50, 60 pound bond.
See, when you showed me the paper and the pictures here, and I had an opportunity to see Wade right then. So I asked Wade if he was going to take the photos and, get shots. I also then later told him about what you said, that the bull looked better from the backside than he did from the front. I said, maybe you better get the front and the back together and make it a combination. So I hope you don't mind me speaking to Wade about it, because after all, if I can get going and moving.
I appreciate anything that'll move. Robert, it's amazing. That pasture has held up enough. Of course, I don't have many animals on it. But it's kept going, even those cows with calves.
You got 22 head on there.
Oh, I got a lot more than that.
I mean, I'm just counting yours. I'm not counting that other stuff.
Oh.
Say, I'll tell you who might be interested in that other stuff. I know it's hard, but I'll call him up there. That's old man Cohenour. Old Cohenour might be interested in that great stuff.
Yeah, they're good cows.
Like cows.
They behave.
They do.
Yeah, you handle it easy.
How many of those are there?
10 of them.
10. I'll call Cohenour up and see if he won't come down here. He and Bessie. They might come Sunday. I don't know if they'll come Sunday or not. Because they're so religious. I don't know what they
Let me ask you a question, Albert.
Junior high school, and I don't know what, by what stretch of imagination they can say he's qualified to teach school.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't call you up, he won't do a thing for you. He's never been a success at anything except he's fooled the voting public. He's fooled them.
I just talked, I caught Mr. Man with the store out there.
Morgerson
over there at Mr. Weaver's, and they talk politics a little. They said this judge over here is the first man that ever done anything for McNoble. Was a lot of time.
Lindsey Beckham in place of Sidney Martin Sidney Martin has taken away almost all the liberty that we landowners have.
Yeah.
And he's got that Weston. I call him Hitler Weston.
$14,000.
Gets $13,000 salary and $1,200 for car expenses. He never uses a car. Yeah. If he uses an automobile, he uses somebody else's. Yeah. Or uses a county car.
What's he supposed to do?
He's supposed to be the executive assistant.
Oh.
He's a county manager. He makes the balls at the other and gets people to fire him. And if you go in there and ask him something, he'll tell you what it is, and he'll say that's all there is, and you got to do that. I mean,
if you go in the office and ask him,
if you ask him something that that is all right, right in line, but not that won't interfere with what he wants, see, then there isn't anything you can do about it.
If that's not what he doesn't like,
if you don't like it, he'll just tell you, then there's nothing you can do about it. Bob Parham had permission to property up here from the zoning commission, had it all approved. He spent $1,500 on it with their approval. But Weston, at the county commission, to put some rocks in his road, and when Bob Parham stopped him, so when Bob went there to see about it, Weston says, "Well, that's the way it's going to be, Mr. Parham. There isn't anything you can do about it. You do it that way or else."
Mm-hmm.
I asked him about, before I went to the hospital on January 3rd, guy I had worked for over a year and spent a lot of time and money on the 30 acres of mine up here. And because of what I had done, I had refused to sell the 30 acres when I could have sold it, because I could make, by selling it to people and individuals, I could sell what I wanted to better with it.
Mm-hmm.
The 3rd of January, they told me to do or else. I went to the hospital, and I went over to see Mr. Dell, and I asked him about it. He said, "Well, Robert, is there anything you can do about it right now?" I said, "Wait till you get well, get better." And he said, "We'll discuss it." I said, "Well, Emory Cross said he didn't know anything about it." He said, "Emory Cross is a damn liar. Emory Cross is a damn liar. I can prove that. I'll take you in there and get an abstract and show you where he lied to me so much and blame things on me. He's no, Emory Cross is no good. Just tell him Guy Emory, J. Emory, double cross. He's no good.
If I ever couldn't stand anybody, it is me.
Well, how about Edgar Johnson?
Well, he's no good.
Never was any good. He talks about being a family man. His wife divorced him.
Edgar is.
Oh, did she?
Sure.
Sorry, but I don't know what ails him. He's been like that for years, just that way.
He won't answer you. He'll answer you on the telephone, promise to call you back. He'll never call you back.
I think he could judge anything successfully. Not that I like
Connell,
because I don't. Connell, I didn't
vote
for him.
I'll vote for him this time.
I will this time, just because of that. I really don't think Edgar Johnson's got good judgment. And you can't rely on what he says.
You can't rely on what he says 1 minute and the next.
And a man like that has no business being a judge.
He says he's been a lawyer. Well, he owes the taxpayers a lot of money for office rent on the third floor.
I never thought so much like this about it.
Because he didn't hurt us.
No, he never did anything to us or for us or against us or anything.
Except that thing with Mr. Pitts.
Yes, he didn't help matters there. And
of course, John Pitts.
No problem at all for him, too. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Gee, don't ask Jacobson. He'll lose his religion. Adventist.
Oh, yeah.
You can't talk to him Friday night or Saturday at all.
Oh, really?
Oh, boy. But he and Edgar Johnson, you just say anything to Mr. Jacobson about Edgar Johnson, and he'll fly off the handle.
Well, it's Friday night or Saturday morning?
Man,
How does Emory fare in this?
He's going running for back for his seat in the state legislature again.
Yeah.
He got licked once. Now he's going back at it again because he had a reprieve of some sort. I can't remember. Of course, I don't know which one's which, but Emory Cross is good.
Oh, he just... Well, don't you know...
Church up.
Now, is that the way he does it?
Everything. I was just going to say in there, I had to go up to the courthouse yesterday.
Got it?
Jimmy gave me his abstract when I came home from the hospital. It was here. And I said, well, Jimmy, while I'm in bed, I'll read it. And I read it. And, of course, it's all fouled up with this Edgar Johnson business. But Emory Cross, when we closed it out, the property back in, I don't know, it was 1957 or 1961 it was, Guy. Anyway, Emory Cross was supposed to take the mortgage and note and the deed and record them. And he had the money given to him then to do it, see. Well, 10 months later, Jimmy called me on the phone from Clearwater, and he said, Bob, he said, did Red Cross ever record that deed? I said, well, Jimmy, certainly he recorded. He said, well, it's funny. He said, if you don't hurry up, he said, and check on it for me, he said, and pay the taxes for me, he said, I'm afraid we'll have delinquent taxes and somebody going to buy them in. He said, I've never received a tax bill. I said, what? I said, Jimmy, you must be mistaken. He said, no, I'm not mistaken. He said, Eldon and I have gone over it, and we've checked everything high and low, and he said, we can't find it. He said, you check it for us, will you? I went to the courthouse the next day, and sure enough, Guy had never been recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So I drove out there, and I said to Emory's secretary, I said, did Emory Cross ever record that deed, that mortgage and note? So I went in, and I said, oh, of course, you know, just glad, Ham, that is glad to see you, Bob, and all this crap. I said, hey, I had a phone call last night from Jimmy Ramsden and Ellen. I said, do you know that Don Skank, Speedy Rogers deal? I said, you never recorded that mortgage and note and deed. I said, I don't care about the mortgage and note, but I am concerned about the deed. Oh, I did. I said, no, you didn't. So he called his secretary, and the secretary said, no, Mr. Cross, it's on your desk. He said, what? He flew up in the air, blaming it on her. She said, it's been on your desk. And he said, can't be. Well, he looked all around the office and finally, looked, you know, made a farce of it. Looked on his desk, and there, sure enough, patted me on the shoulder. He said, Bob, I'll record him this morning. I'll record him today. Promise you my word of honor, I'll record him now. I said, it's just been an error. And he said, I said, well, one thing I wanted to tell you before I leave here. Until the present time, you're the board that's going to be responsible. Oh, yes. I said, okay. Just so we understand one another on that. You see, Guy, he should have gone down there right away and recorded that deed so nobody could come in there and put a claim or a lien or anything against it. And Don Skanks was on squeaky ground then. Called me up. He said, Bob.
You mean after you went down
there? Yeah. He said, Bob, he said, we never got that deed. He said, you said we'd get in about 10 days from Carmichael. I said, hell, Jimmy, he promised me faithfully he would record it. He said, well, will you check on it again for me? I said, sure. So I went to the courthouse and recorded. I went out there and I said to another secretary, I said, no, same secretary. I said, Mr. Cross in? She looked at me and she said, yes. So she went in and talked to him. He said, I'd have to wait. So I waited about 20 minutes and she and I were talking. She said, I'm leaving this dump.
Oh, really?
Little girl. I said, where are you going? She said, I'm going down with your friends in Clearwater. She said, I'm going down there. She said, I've got a job down there. She said, I can't put up with this. No problem. I waited 20 minutes, and I went in and asked him if he's busy. He said, oh, Bob. He said, yeah, I'll be through in just a minute. I said, thank you. So I walked on in. Went in and sat down one of those half-round chairs there in his office. See, there was yesterday. I was on this side of the office. No, it was embarrassing for him. I looked at him. I said, how about that deed you were going to record a month ago for the Jimmy Ramsden, Jimmy and Ellen? I said, on that Skanks Rogers deal. Didn't I record it? I said, no, you never recorded it. I'll do it this morning. I'll do it in the next half hour. I said, yeah. That's right, you will.
He says, well, Bob, I'll do it in the next half hour. I said, yes, that's right. You will. He said, what do you mean by that? Because I said, I'm going to sit right here until you do go record the damn thing. He said, what, don't you trust me? I said, hell no. What? I said, you heard what I said. And I said, you're going to go down and record those damn things, and I'm going to sit here until you do, if I have to sit here all day. He said, you mean it? I said, you're damn right I mean it. He said, I didn't think you'd act like that. You'd be like that. I said, no, I didn't think you'd be like you are either. I said, just let's understand one thing. I said, you're going down and record those things. He said, I'll go right now. I said, fine. Save us a lot of time and trouble. He said, you want to ride with me? You want to ride in your car? I said, well, I don't care. He said, well, come on, ride with me. I said, well, I don't know. So I don't remember. God, I was so mad, I can't remember the day whether I rode with him or I took my own car down there. And I walked up and Mrs. Lowry took him from him, and he asked her how much the thing would be and all, and he wrote out a check for it. He said, now are you satisfied? I said, I'm satisfied. I said, now I can call Mr. and Mrs. Ramsey up and tell them it's been recorded. A year. He said, no, not quite. 11 months. Now I got the abstract over there because I've had to check on it, see. So, Jimmy, I tell you how bad, though, he is, guy, honestly. People don't know him. Jimmy had a piece, wanted to transfer a piece of property from Bob Shipman to Terrell Swap. One was on one side of the canal and the other was on the other. And they wanted to swap this about equal pieces of property, two little triangles of about 5 acres, five and a third acres. So I went to Red Cross and I borrowed the abstract so I could take it down to Melbreth and walk up, as John Walkup McIntosh, Melbreth and walk up down in Ocala. And I took him down there, took the abstract down there. And after it was through, I remembered afterwards, it sort of remembered in the back of my mind, it was sort of foggy, but the John Walkup, there was something about that abstract and John Walkup, and I couldn't remember what it was. Just a faint recollection back in my mind. Well, the person who holds a mortgage, or the lawyer who is represents the person who holds the mortgage and note usually holds the abstract. And time rocked along, and last year, when I wasn't feeling too good anyway, well, Jimmy asked me where the abstract and the abstract was. I said, Jimmy, you got it. He said, no, I got every one but the one on the ranch. He said, I remember, he said, we took it down to walk-ups, and he said, because of the Terrell Shipman deal. I said, yeah, I remember that. I said, well, then walk-up and Melbreth must have it. Well, he said, all right, I'll stop there and see. So he went there, and they said, no, they didn't have it. Had no record of it. So then I jump in the car, and I go down to Ocala, and I talk to John, and I talk to Larry Melbreth about it, and they had it. And they claimed that they had sent it back to me or sent it back to Red Cross, but they didn't have a receipt for it. So therefore, they were liable for this $100 or $150 abstract. It was over $150. So they were liable for it. But John said to me, he said, Mr. Smith, he said, I think that Red Cross has that abstract. I'm sure he has it. He said, whether I gave it to you or whether I gave it to him, he said, I don't know. And he said, it teaches us a lesson. He said, after this, he said, we have been rather lax in this office in not getting receipts, but he said, by gosh, after this, we're going to get a receipt for every damn one. I said, so am I, John. I said, I've trusted people too, and I said, it just doesn't work. I said, here's something coming up here after all this time, and I said, I can't remember, and you can't remember. I said, it seems to me the Red Cross has it, but I said, I'm not positive. Well, he said, I'll call him, and I said, no, I'll call him. So I came back, and I called Red Cross on the phone. And Red Cross said, well, I can't tell you the day. He said, I'll have my secretary look it up. So 2 or 3 days went by, and I received word from him that they had a receipt, and he sent a receipt, had sent a letter to the Ramsden saying that they had a receipt showing that I had procured the abstract from their office, and they were not further liable. So I called him on the phone, and I said, Mr. Cross, I said, I believe you have the abstract. I said, you represented Don Skanks, and I said, when I took the abstract, yes, you have my receipt for it when I took it to take it to Walkup, No Breath and Walkup. I said, you have that, and I said, I very foolishly brought it back to your office. He said, oh, no, you never did. I said, oh, yes, I did. He said, no, you never did. He said, I have your receipt right here in front of me. I said, that's where I made a mistake, not getting a receipt. So I said, you represented Don Skanks, and I said, you wanted the abstract back. He said, yes, but he said, you never brought it back. I said, you were supposed to have it back. He said, yes, I was supposed to have it back. I said, thank you. But you got a receipt. He said, I got the receipt. I said, if you don't have the abstract. Never have had the abstract since you took it out of the office. Guy, I got worried because $150 is $150, and I wasn't making any money last year and haven't made any this year. So $150 meant a lot to me. Did before that. Furthermore, the principal of the thing rankled me. So I went up to the courthouse and checked. And I went around. I wondered whether maybe Don Skinks' widow had it, you know, whether something. So I went to their lawyer. No, they didn't have it, but they remembered it. And a suit by Edgar Johnson had been brought in circuit court here and went all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States against the Skanks estate because of his affiliation with a Bank of Hawthorne and triple note they were on, a triple signature of a note. And the First National Bank of Gainesville. So it was all a complicated mess. I said, well, I guess I'm out $150, that's all. So I went down to Barney Colson's office, and Barney has always been, he and Marvin Brooker have been awfully nice to me.
Well, they're nice.
Very nice.
I have a friend now and then.
So I went down and I said to Janie, I said, it's the secretary there. I can't hear her name now. I said, well, I called her by her name, Mrs. whoever it is. I said, I have tried to locate an abstract. I gave her the title and the whole thing, all the information. She took it. I said, I can't locate it. And I said, I'm responsible for it, and I want to see if Mr. Brooker will give me an estimate on a new one, because I said, I have to get one. I said, very foolishly, I said, had it, and when I gave it back, well, I said, I didn't get a receipt. I said, it teaches me a lesson from now on, I'll get a receipt. She smiled. She said, I'll go look, Mr. Smith. So she went back, and she was gone about 5 minutes. I saw her going in Barney Colson's office with a whole stack of abstracts. And about, I was talking to Marvin in the meantime. Marvin came out, we were discussing camellias and azaleas and facts of life. And so he came out, and Marvin was talking to me, so Mr. Colson came up, and he put this abstract down on the counter. He said, Mr. Smith, is that the abstract you lost? Is that the one you want? I said, yeah. He said, well, we have it. He said, we're holding it. They owe us about $720 or more. And he said, that abstract is part of it. We're holding it for payment. I said, if you want it.
Why, Robert?
He said, if you want it, he said, you can have it. I said, I said, I want to know. I just wanted to know where it was and how much it would cost to make a new one. Well, he said, it'd be cheaper for you to pick this up. He said, it would to pick a new one. He said, who'd you want it for? I said, Mr. and Mrs. Ramsden. And then I told him. He looked at Marvin. He said, well, we can help Bob out, can't we? we can give it to him for what we got in it. Marvin says, yeah. He says, he's always been kind to us. And he said, why can't we reciprocate? He said, Mr. Smith, if you want it, you can have it for $39, exactly what we got in it, in that one. He said, but Red Cross tell you he didn't have it. I said, that's the reason I came in here to ask you about getting a new one. Well, he said, there's a lot more to it than that. He said, he had it. He loaned it to Bill Graham. Well, Bill Graham, he said, is the attorney for the First National Bank. I said, uh-oh. I said, on that Johnson, Taylor, Goolsby deal for the Bank of Hawthorne, and he didn't say yes or no. He said, but Mr. Graham, he said, after he spent quite a bit of time on it, he said he took it back to Mr. Cross. And he said, of course, there was an extra charge against it. Well, I didn't catch that. And he said, Mr. Cross wouldn't have any part of it. He didn't want it back then. He said, when there was a charge against it, he said, but all these others. So he said, Mr. Cross says he didn't give a damn what they did with it. So he said, Bill Graham brought it back and gave it to me. And he said, that's the reason I have it here. He said, Bill Graham brought it back because Bill didn't want it, and Bill wouldn't pay for it. And Cross said he didn't give a damn what Bill did with it. He didn't care. So he said, now if you want it, I said, well, I'll let the Ramsons pick it up. Because I said, after all, I said it was supposed to be delivered to them upon completion of the mortgage and note, and they paid the mortgage and note off. Well, he said, it'll be $39. So Jimmy and Ellen came up, and I told them about it. They went to B.D. Rogers, and they went to the Bank of Hawthorne. Well, they had quite a time with the Bank of Hawthorne. But finally, they agreed to pay half of the $39. Then when Jimmy went to pick up the thing, it was $47. See, he said that Ed Cross wouldn't have any part of it because it was an extra charge. It was $47 against it, over and above that, for what had been brought up after Red Cross loaned it to Bill Graham. So Jimmy and Ellen had to part with $47 extra. You can see what Mr. Cross is.
He can't just keep it straight.
He can't tell the truth if it hurts. He knew all about that guy. You can't tell me Jackson is as important as that. With Bill Graham and the First National Bank, the Bank of Hawthorne, and a suit by Edgar Johnson, Taylor, and Goolsby that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and he didn't know it, he's a liar.
Now, let me tell you, anybody ought to know, and be in business with somebody like you, they're going to find out sooner or later.
The darn fool would... It's the same way with this Edgar Johnson. And said this whole thing, and Jimmy said last weekend, he said to me, no, weekend before, he wasn't here last weekend, he called me on the phone. And he said, Bob, isn't it interesting reading? He said, that thing about Johnson. I said, well, it might be of interest to some people, but I said, the whole thing is a messed up mess. I said, the whole thing. Johnson was the... I think he was a stockholder what in the Bank of Hawthorne. He was supposed to be their legal counsel. And they allowed guys, Don Skanks, they allowed him to borrow money. Now, a director in a bank is not supposed to be able to borrow money from the same bank. But anyway, eventually, Taylor, Johnson and Goolsby were on a note for $15,000. So Don went to the First National Bank of Gainesville to borrow $15,000. And he put up this property that he had already sold it to Ramsden as collateral, part collateral for the damn $15,000. So when Red Cross handed over the abstract to Bill Graham and Bill Graham started looking through it, he said, why, Don Skanks doesn't have any interest or right to this property. It's already been sold. But Red Cross didn't tell Graham that. So Graham, then the bank, First National Bank, signed a release to the Ramstons. And it was recorded for this, any part or partial of this $15,000 note, because they didn't have anything to do in it. They didn't know anything about it until I read the abstract after I got it back from them. So yesterday I went to the courthouse to check in the Bank of Hawthorne to see if the Bank of Hawthorne had a lien against this property, which Jimmy's already paid off. And Johnson and Taylor's been in the hoosegow, he's been in the jug for embezzling money, and he's a partner of Johnson's. And Goolsby is a farmer, I don't know what he is. I met him, but I don't know him. I think his name is Goolsby. I'm using the name Goolsby anyway, but I'd have to go get the abstract to tell me. But I went up there yesterday to find out. But that's the kind of people, when you speak about Johnson, speak about Cross, that's the kind of people that I've been finding with me.
I see. Well, I'm surprised you're in good shape, you are, Robert.
I'm in bad shape today.
After all that. How does...
Yesterday and today, I ate something that I shouldn't have eaten.
Oh, I see. You got to watch that. How is Connell shaping up?
Guy, I've only met Connell once. To be honest and practical about the thing, forthright, that job as judge needs a lawyer. Connell is not a lawyer.
Yeah.
Connell is studying law. Connell has had the advice and services of Bill Andrews, who is, of course, running for county commissioner. He used to be Lowry and Andrews. Bill Andrews is a lawyer. Most people don't know this, but Bill Andrews has been one of the advisors and backers of Connell. Connell can also go to one or two other lawyers in town and get it. Now, I don't trust Connell any further than a lot of other people, but he's done a pretty good job as far as being in there is concerned, and there isn't anything that I've heard against him outside of he likes to throw his weight around being judge. Well, if Edgar Johnson gets in there, Lord help all of us. But Connell, I said this, I have said it to lawyers, if we could have a lawyer or have somebody like Mac Futch, who is, of course, one of the prosecuting attorneys, or we could have Ira Carter, who is in the small claims or that other court, if we could have either one of those two as a county judge, we'd be doing something. We should have a lawyer. But until we can get a lawyer to run for it, it doesn't pay enough money for a decent lawyer to do it. Until we can get a lawyer to run for it, some lawyer that was more or less semi-retired by reason of health or something, I'd rather see Connell stay there. You're going to hand out a few. Well, don't hand out Edgar Johnson's.
I got Linda Beckham's now.
Oh, they're all right.
How about Boozer?
I don't know Boozer. He seemed to be an all right person.
Yeah. How about Williams?
Wendy Wilkerson, I know him. I was kidding about him one night. About 10 days ago, I was up at Bobby's, and I was leaving there, and there were some people out front. Hal Ingman, you know Hal? He's at the university. He's running for school board. Hal's a real nice person. Has four kids in school. And Ann, his wife, is a real nice gal. So they were out there talking.
They
got me talking.
Kind of wired, too? Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything's kind of wired.
So they got me talking and said something about my friend Edgar Johnson. They knew I'd fly off the handle.
Mm.
And off from that, and they spoke about Wendy Wilkerson. Well, Wendy is a barber. Wendy has been cutting hair there for a long time. And I was about to leave, and they'd kidded me enough, and I was kidding too. So I said, I'll tell you one thing. I said, my gosh, I said, for goodness sake, don't get Wendy in there. Why not? He's excellent. I said, maybe he is, but I said, Then we'll have two barbers in there. I said, barbers? I said, yeah. I said, Wendy's a barber? I said, yeah. I said, well, Shelly McKinney's in there. And I said, boy, they'll both clip us.
Mm-hmm.
Said, well, Shelly's already clipped you. As Shelly's a Texas. I said, yeah, I know, but with both of them in there, I said, my gosh. I said, we'll have two of them. And I said, we'll really be clipped. But Shelly, they couldn't find a better person than he and Bishop in there, and that bunch they have in that tax collecting office and the tag agency. That you haven't, I don't think anybody has any complaints about Shelly and his group.
Mm-hmm.
And a few weeks before that, somebody that knew Shelly real well and knew me real well was kidding me down here at the shop. And said that everybody was running for office in Letcher County. What was I running for? I wasn't running for anything. And said, well, Pierce Smith was unopposed, Shelly McKinney was unopposed. And when they said Shelly McKinney was unopposed, I said, my gosh, if I'd known that, I sure as hell would have entered the race. And I said, what? I said, yeah, I'd have entered the race against Shelly. I said, there's only one trouble with it. I said, what's that? I was just a serious guy, that I had good sense. I said, I'm in trouble with it. I said, I would. I'd oppose Shelly. I'd run against him. I said, the only one trouble. I said, what is it? I said, well, I only got one pair of crutches, and if I give Shelly one of these crutches and I keep one, hell, we wouldn't get very far. So I said, I don't think I'll run against him.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm going to tell Shelly. I said, go ahead and tell him. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I know damn right well I wouldn't get very far with just one crutch, and Shelly wouldn't either.
Well, Robert, how does Shelly manage to come clear out of all these scrapes that everybody gets into?
Well, he more or less sidesteps and keeps out of arguments and keeps out of discussions and tries to run his own office the way he wants it run, according to the way he thinks the people want it run.
Yeah.
Now, like that Red Cross, Red Franks deal.
Yeah, I remember he tried to sidestep that.
Boy, they were just like that before that. They were as close. They were two very, very, very close friends, Guy.
Yeah.
Honestly, I know them both, and I know that they'd do anything for one another. Anything. But when Red started to act up, Shelly went to him and said, now look, Red, if you're going to act this way, you're going to carry this ball by yourself. I'm not going to have any part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're wrong. You think you're right. It's not for me to make your decisions. You decide for yourself. But don't expect me to carry the ball for you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. He said, let's understand at the beginning. So Shelly didn't get into any of the arguments. And when people say something to him about Red, he'd say, well, I like Red. Red's been a very good friend of mine. Red's done a good job. But I'm not going to get into this argument or this discussion that he's in now. I'm not going to have any part of this hassle because I don't know anything about it. One day, Shelly and I were standing there at the end of the counter. And I said, Shelly, I'm sure sorry that your friend and mine, I said, is going off the deep end as bad as he has. He said, who do you mean? I said, Red Frank. He said, well, Bob, he said, I am too. I said, I'm just sorry. I said, he's going off the deep end, so doggone far. I said, I can't agree with him. Well, he said, neither can I. But he said, I'm keeping out of that. And I found out that that was what it was. He just went to Red and told him. He said, we've been close friends, we've been good friends, and I knew anything else.
Yep.
Whatever. But he stayed in the real estate business for a while, and he was really going like wildfire.
Oh, was he?
Real good. Then all of a sudden, things seemed to simmer down and die down, and eventually the office was closed, and he went to his home, and he was selling real estate out of his home, or trying to sell it. So a friend of mine offered him office space in his office and telephone service and whatnot to try and, you know, get him out of his home and get him in the limelight and get him back on the street again. Red took it up. So the man went to the trouble to have the doggone a sign made and have a permit. You see, you got to get a permit out of the real estate board in Orlando to do anything in real estate. If you want to change one little thing one way or the other, as far as you're concerned, if I wanted to have somebody work for me, I and go through a lot of red tape to even hire a salesman. So this man went to all that trouble, even bought a desk, put it in the office. Red Franks hadn't been in there the first day.
Well, you see, his wife works.
Well, I didn't know that. I don't know his wife. I wouldn't know if I'm.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. But he's one of his daughters. It's just as smart as she can be. She plays an oboe or a harp or something. She performs.
Well, he's bright. God, he's not stupid. That guy is, he's really bright. He's a bright, brilliant person. But.
Well, unless you're pretty bright, you can't go off the rocker, Robert.
I know, but he sure went off his rocker. I like him.
You know, I figured he's so smart, he just got him. He's down there right in the middle of it. And he got a good mind. And, you know, when I see him, Roberts, of a morning, looked like he'd been up all night playing poker or something. I don't know whether he did or not. Back for a while. At least he looked sort of raw.
Guy, I don't know. I don't know whether he was or he wasn't. There was one man there that I spoke about, and it might have been so, because there was one man I spoke about and said that he spent all his time playing poker and drinking over, well, I can't even say whether it was American Legion or Veterans of Foreign Wars, but one of those organizations.
Yeah.
I said, well, he's just a big damn fool.
Yeah.
Highway specifications. And the cheapest price that I can do it, after it's graded and everything, the cheapest I can get a paving laid down by anybody is $7 a running foot. And yet, I can't put a house on any piece of property unless I live up to all the specifications and it's zoned properly and everything else. And in some instances, it has to be 2 acres or more. Yet, and if I want to cut it up, I have to go to the expense of, and quite a good bit of expense of engineering and platting and filing and everything else. And yet, GM Davis, who is a building agent, is building houses right now and selling them on unpaved streets or unpaved roads. But he's a county commissioner. That's the thing that I don't like. I don't like you. One person can do one thing.
Well,
now you didn't. That's when Mr. Dell and I are going to go round and round with them, and we're going to go clean to the United States Supreme Court if I have to.
You mean if you've got a piece of property out here that belongs to you, and it's zoned, get it zoned right?
Well, what if it's zoned and you didn't have any part of zoning it?
Zoned for you.
Hmm?
Well, you could sell it off.
Sell it off, yeah. But then another party's going to come right around and spend $25 and wait 60 days and take a chance on the zoning commission approving it. And then the zoning commission approves it. Then the county commissioners disapprove it. We might as well not have any zoning board. That's what happened to Parham up here. Guy, you can't put a trailer on anything less than 5 acres and you got to live in it yourself. But right down there, I can see it from here. There's a trailer there on the corner on an acre lot, or less than an acre.
Yeah.
How come?
Yeah.
Hilton Herron can't put one on his, he can't put two on his 11 acres unless he lives in them.
Oh, really?
And he can't live in them. I said, the heck you can't live in them the first day of January. And rent them the rest of the 365 damn days.
What's the object of that law?
Well, the county commission wants to control everything that you do as far as your property is concerned, and this guy Weston up there, he'll enforce it. You try and get a permit for a septic tank in some places, and they'll refuse you, but Edgar Johnson had one put up here in George's Pond.
What? I used to find with that. Well, I'd heard him secondhand, all like that, but I mean, come right up against it. And you know, it got to the point, Robert, where I just didn't want to know a lot of stuff. I mean,
that's right.
I mean, it affects your appetite. You well, can't. A fella gets so he don't sleep.
Guy, if you worked over 3 years on a project and you paid Perry McGriff to survey the damn stuff, and you got the thing all ready to go, and you've just now had a man spend $10,000, and you've done it for nothing in order to get something through that you worked on for 3 years, and then have those birds up there in the third floor of the courthouse tell you you can't do that unless you do this and you do that and put so many rocks in your way and make it so expensive that nobody can do anything. Then the man I sold the property to, he thinks I'm a liar because I told him he could do it. Previous to that, he could have done it. But I didn't know they had gotten Red Cross to push this law through. I didn't know this bunch of bastards, if I must say so, in that county commission up there had undermined all the people. They say they advertised it. God, they might have advertised it in a High Springs paper, but I never saw it in a Gainesville paper.
All the roads and all.
Yeah, and the doggone platting and zoning business. And to think that I was the one who instigated the zoning with Edgar Johnson. But I did it for a reason, and I didn't think they'd go overboard on it. They were putting junkyards along the highways, and I didn't want the highways mutilated with a bunch of junkyards. I wanted some control over it. And I had broken the law as far as I was concerned. I corrected it, but at the time I did it, I broke a law temporarily till I could get to a telephone. You see, if you come to me, I have a piece of property to sell, and you come to me, you're ready, able, and willing to go ahead with it and buy it under the terms and conditions of the sale. I'm obligated to sell it to you. I must sell it to you. But I refuse to sell a $22,000 piece of property to a Jew from down at Apopka for a wrecking yard. He called it a dismantling yard. And I didn't know that there was a syndicate all over the United States and that they have these intercom telephones that they can call from Tampa to Houston, Texas, or New York, or Detroit, or wherever they want if they need a big part. Gainesville, Apopka, Orlando. I didn't know it was a syndicate. I didn't know they could call one another. They have these open lines, leased lines. And then a little later on, they came to me and sent two of these birds, these fast-talking birds from down in Tampa. And I refused to sell them a piece of property. And they said I couldn't refuse to sell it to you. I said, well, I already have refused to sell it to you. He said, well, you can't do that. Legally, you can't do it. I said, well, I did it. He said, do you own the property? I said, no, I don't own it. Well, how can you refuse to sell it then? I said, because I don't want any dismantling yards. I don't want any automobile junk yards on the highway. Property to say what you can do and what you can't do. I said, no, it isn't my property, but I'm telling you, you can't buy it. He said, well, we'll go to the owner. I said, that's your privilege. Do you want his name and address and telephone number? He said, yes. I said, I'll give it to you. Come on, let's go back to the office. I'll give it to you. I said, and then you go see him. He said, we will. Because you can't refuse to sell it to us. I said, I already have. I said, just that's a broken record now. I said, just forget it. I said, I refuse to sell it to you. And that's where I broke the law. See, they could get me. So they came back here and said, we'll see you. We're going to get it. I said, you may try to get either one of those two pieces, but you're not going to get it. You know that where Harry Beckwith's gun shop is? There's 42 acres in back there with about a 200-foot or 300-foot entrance on the highway there where those two houses are. Or is there one house? There's one house there. It's green, I think.
Left here, I call
Clearwater on the telephone. I'm calling Jimmy and Ellen Ramsey. I said, Jimmy, I'm in a jam. He said, what are you in a jam for? I said, there's a bunch of Jews want to put up that wrecking yard, that automobile wrecking yard on your 22 acres up here. And I said, they're ready, able, and willing to give you $22,000 for it. And I said, I refused it. He said, you did? I said, yeah. He said, what'd you do that for? I said, because I don't want to see any damn junkyard on the highway. I said, I don't like to see a junkyard there either. I said, you not only will I get in trouble with my neighbors, I said, but it'll hurt my property. And I said, I just don't like it. I said, I'll sell your damn property, but I said, I want to sell it for them. And I said, of course, I'm the illegal. I said, if you want to sell it, you can sell it. But I said, I sent them to you. I gave them your name and address and telephone number. He said, what the hell did you do that for? I said, because they demanded it. And I said, I was illegal in refusing to sell it to them. I said, I can't do it. I said, I did it. I said, I told them I wouldn't sell it. I ate something I thought was fresh. I thought it was all right to eat, and I didn't know it, but it wasn't. It wasn't. And I've had sort of like a ptomaine poisoning since.
That was some old salad dressing that they'd accidentally put on the table. Ruth said she'd put it in the refrigerator. Roberts had picked it up somewhere in the back where it had been laid aside and been thrown away. Now, we'd been talking in the candy kitchen. I cut the tape off whenever those big trucks passed. This is the end of my tape at McAnopy on the Thursday, the 2nd of May, 1968, when I went over to take care of some politics. This is the end of that tape at McAnopy. And this Thursday, the 2nd of May, the first time I'd been out on my round in all this time, since way back before Hazel came, and 2 weeks I was out of commission on account of my eye, and then the visits from the family, and I don't know what all. The first thing that Roberts asked me about, what we started off on, he was interested in my fly and the handbill to sell my cattle. He had offered to work on that, and he said if he had it, he could be using it all along. And he had spoken to Wade, and I told him that we had to get Bevy to speak to Wade too, and we had something to work on, but we weren't quite ready. I think we're all involved in that procrastination, putting things off, like the abstract that could lie on Red Cross's table for almost a year, even when he's reminded. Then I can remember cases where Roberts just couldn't get around to anything, and he'll tell you to do it today or in the morning. Then out here the same way, and I think I do it all the time. I don't know how to avoid that. I'll say, Wade said this last time he'd do it in the morning. Well, now that was yesterday. He said he'd do it, and then when he was going to do it, and he didn't even check in. I don't think he went to did any development at all yesterday. You see, that's what we all get involved in. That's the reason I think I'll go clear out of business. I'm tired of being hung up, and I'm tired of hanging up other people. This is the end of that tape of 2nd of